Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Thanks for tuning in. And my co-host today is Pastor Jeanette Berge. Pastor Jeanette, how are you doing today?
I'm well.
It's good to have you. Thanks for setting in for Pastor Margaret today. And today we're joined by Morgan McGrath. Morgan, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm happy to be on the podcast.
It's good to have you, and Morgan's going to be sharing her testimony today. Pastor Jeanette, you could introduce Morgan since you kind of have a connection with her before we get started with her testimony.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is Morgan, and I've had the absolute pleasure of getting to know Morgan as she has been a leader in our young adult ministry. Before that, it was hard to miss Morgan just because she is just full of joy, and I had the opportunity to chat with her. And since then, we've gotten to know each other a little better. And it's been a fun semester, yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
So, Morgan, tell us a little bit about like where you grew up and where you're from. And just get us started with your story a little bit.
Yeah. So I grew up in Central Florida. I've lived there my whole life since I moved to college. Yeah. My family acknowledges Christ, and we read the Bible occasionally and we pray, but church was more of it was like for holidays, and then occasionally on Sundays. It wasn't always like, this is what we do every Sunday. We didn't always, it's just more of a casual perspective of the Lord than upbringing. And I think all of us in my family are trying to understand the Lord at the same time and trying to figure out who he is at the same time, which has its gifts, but also has some of its confusions and setbacks. But yeah, I grew up in Florida, lived there my whole life. And then it wasn't until college that I came to Virginia.
So you talked about growing up that going to church and faith was kind of casual, but was there anything even in all that that stuck out to you where you're like, well, I want this to be more than casual?
Yeah, I think I remember memories of church when I was in later elementary school, and there'd be like the puppet shows that they would do and telling the Bible stories. And I thought it was interesting and I thought it was fun the way they presented it. But I think the thing that I really enjoyed about church was worship. I'm a dancer, so music is really easy for me to connect to. I feel a lot of emotion from music and lyrics and sound and all of that. And my church wasn't a traditional church, the one that I grew up in. So there was like a lot of more modern worship, which I really enjoyed. And I think being drawn to that helped me want to keep going to church more. And then I would go to youth group on Wednesdays with my friends, and we often would just dance and have fun together in worship. So I think that was something that really got me to keep coming back. And I do believe that the Lord pursues his children. I think that God can set a specific intention in someone's heart at a young age, and even if they don't fully know who he is yet or what exactly he could be putting in their heart. So I think that God was always in my life, even if I didn't recognize him in the moment.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that you can identify that the Lord was already working on your heart. And, you know, we often, when we talk about children and coming to know the Lord, I often say, like, they don't serve a smaller God or a junior Holy Spirit, but they serve a God who is the same God that we do, right? And he's great and he's mighty, and he could do a great and mighty work even in a young child, right?
Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah.
And as you were talking, I was thinking of two things, Morgan. First of all, 1 Timothy 4:12, where it says, don't look down on them because they're young. Because God can use young people and does use young people. And also, I think about in our Nazarene tradition, we believe that God pursues us even before we might be aware of it, or maybe we're not sure, but he pursues each and every one of us. How did you end up at JMU or hear about JMU from Florida?
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy story. on a random day in November, my cousin, who's older than me, suggested that I check it out and just apply because she went to Lehigh and had a lot of friends who went to JMU and they said that they loved it. And I was kind of in a season at that point where I was just stuck at home. I didn't like that I was there. I didn't like high school. And I had voiced those things. And I was like, I just wish that I could be out. Because I was in New York at the time visiting family. And it just felt very freeing to be out of the state. And so in all of that, she told me, just go ahead and apply for JMU. And I like looked at pictures of the campus and everything. And it's like, oh, this would be amazing. But I never really thought that it would be an opportunity for me. I thought, oh, I have to stay in Florida. Like, I worked so hard for things that would like allow Florida to be the right opportunity for me. So I kind of just left it in November and didn't really look back at the thought of going to JMU until April, which decisions have to be made in May. So I think along the way, though, God definitely showed me, hey, no, I kind of want you to, you know, take this step and go outside of the state. I know you want that. And so I do want to gift you that. And there's a lot of things that I was praying for at the beginning of the year that I stopped praying at the end of the year because I had kind of lost hope in a lot of things. But God remained very consistent in what I had prayed for in the beginning of the year. And I think he showed me through just very random connections that, you know, JMU is a place that I'm sending you. I had received a scholarship from a random little church in a small town close to where I live. And just because I was like applying for any little scholarship that I could. And the woman at that church who was giving out the scholarship, her grandson was a teacher at JMU.
Wow.
And that's just like, what? That's just so random. So there's little things like that. And then my grandparents had met people on the cruise that like went to JMU and had nieces at JMU. So I think through people and connections, God pointed me towards, no, this is right. And it might feel kind of scary that you're going completely out of state and not everyone's agreeing with your decision to do that, but I'm going to make a way for you in this. And then he gave me such good people that there's no way that I could doubt that he brought me to JMU, or not even just JMU, but Virginia.
Yeah. And you mentioned random, but nothing God does is random. True. I think that it was God ordained.
It felt random, but
I think I love how God can use one reason to bring us to a place, and then once we're there, he uses us for a completely different thing that we wouldn't have even imagined, or brings people into our lives that are completely not the reason why we went to begin with, right? Like, you know, there's a funny saying that says that we can make plans, then God just laughs and laughs. but I love the fact that we can trust in his plan, right? And that we know that wherever it is he plants us, that's where he's going to use us, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's great. You had said in your testimony that you had some time in high school where, although you knew God, and like you said, it was maybe a little more casual growing up, you started to withdraw a little bit and to try and fit in or to be like others. Talk a little bit about that. Tell us a little bit about that story.
Yeah. In high school, I think is when I started to notice that there's something different about me. And I saw it negatively at that time because I wasn't fitting in with the people around me. I wasn't making connections with people around me the way that I had wanted to. You go through each season of your life and a lot of people say, oh, high school are supposed to be the best 4 years of your life. They weren't. And then you get to college and those are also supposed to be the best years of your life. So there's just a lot of expectations that can get placed on us. So having that in the back of my mind of like, this is supposed to be good and it's not, was really hard. And I think that in high school is when I started, I now know that like my presence convicted a lot of people, but at the time I didn't understand that. I didn't know that me walking into a room, people saw me as like the Christian girl because I was involved in my churches. I was involved in ministry clubs in school and that was all great, but other people were too. And so I was confused why the same people that were going to church with me, leading with me, were also the ones in the classroom that were almost like shaming me for the kind of faith that I had. And at that time, I did know God and I wanted to pursue anything ministry. I wanted to pursue anything that meant him and was him in it. I think I was beginning to know him, but I didn't know him at the level that I do now and the deep level that I know now. So yeah, just starting in that and then realizing I'm not being seen, heard, or I didn't feel like I was being loved by the people around me made me kind of step away from that. And I mean, that's what ultimately drives people away from the church is if they step into a church and they're not being received well by other people. So I resonate with church hurt because I've experienced it as a Christian. And I'm grateful for that in a weird way. I am grateful for that because I can relate to other people who kind of are more standoffish to the church because I understand we're all broken people. We're all trying to figure it out. And you can't expect people to be who Jesus is. Like, we can try, but we're not going to be that. So there was a season in my life in high school where I was just like, I'm kind of exhausted from this and I don't want to be known as the Christian girl. I don't want to like people to say, oh, her favorite music is worship music, obviously. Oh, what is she going to do on Sunday? She's going to church. Oh, she wouldn't want to go to this party that we're going to. I just didn't like those comments anymore and the feeling of, why am I standing out? So I turned to isolation, I think. I just stopped putting myself out there in ways that I knew I was capable of. And I did distance myself from God because I was just confused why he wouldn't be bringing good people into my life. Yeah, so there was a, like, towards the later years of high school, I kind of just got stuck in a pattern of just doing everything I was involved in. I was just doing it. I wasn't really living in it. I was just proceeding. And it was empty. It felt empty. And it felt spiritually empty because obviously I wasn't bringing God into the things I was doing. It felt like I was just leaving him there for later.
Yeah. So when would you say, I know that you had an experience here at the church that was a pivotal moment in your faith. So tell us about that.
Yeah, I think between high school and then that moment here at this church, God started to speak to me again and I started to listen. I think he's always speaking. I think I was just, God, I'm ready to listen to you again and I want to be a part of these things and I want to pursue you and be in you. So the moment that happened at the church was, it was kind of similar to something that I had experienced when I was younger. Just the way that worship can move people so well if it's done in a God-honoring way. It does have that power. I think, yeah, worship is, it's just such a special place to either, it's going to be performative or it's going to kind of just be steady or it's going to really move people. And I know that like you can relate to that of like, how do we do this well enough to where it's glorifying God, but like we're also still being humble in that. And when that's done very well, I connect very well with the worship and the words and it just allows the Spirit of God to come through. So I had experienced that before in my past of feeling this Holy Spirit, but at the time I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit. I was just like, what am I feeling? Like, Jesus, is this you? But I didn't fully lean into that. I kind of let it happen and then would go on to the next thing. But the moment that happened at the church was after I had done a lot of soul searching and questioning, and I had found amazing people in my life. I'd grown such good relationships with sisters in Christ and just girls who would lead me spiritually and encourage me. And I had become a lot more confident and rooted in my identity in Christ and knew that, you know, I am a daughter of the King. And what does that mean? And what standards does that mean that I should be held to? And so that moment at the church was, I had, the night before, I had gotten off the phone with one of my close friends, just kind of in just like hopelessness of, why am I still feeling such big emotions from things that have happened this year? Why am I still upset? Why can't I get past that? Why am I missing something that I should not be missing? But also, why am I, like, I know God is holding my hand through this. I know he's here, but I also feel like I just need to, I guess I was feeling like I hadn't surrendered everything fully. And yeah, I had called her like very late at night and I was just, we prayed and she listened to me and we went to church the next morning and I still had like a lot of those heavy emotions on my heart and just the way that, I don't exactly remember what the lesson was or the topic was that morning, but I remember the worship and the way that it made me feel. And I just had this feeling in my heart. I was like, God, I don't think I fully surrendered to you yet. I don't think I've fully laid these things down. I've talked about them. I've shared them, but I haven't just sat at your feet. And I think there was like a, there may have been a call to like go to the altar. And I had been feeling that. There's a lot of times where I'm like, God, I need that altar moment again. And sometimes he makes it very easy to where it's like, go, like they're calling you, go. And other times it's, okay, it's your choice. Like no one's telling you to go up there. It's your choice to go up there. So I've had both of those moments happen. But that moment was just like, you are welcome here. And I think that's what I needed. I think I needed this is a welcoming space. This isn't like a call necessarily, but we're welcoming you to the altar. And so I went right for the cross and I just felt like I had dropped the weight that I was carrying at the feet of Jesus. And I was like, Lord, I want you to have this. I'm a broken person. I'm a healing person. I'm a hurting person. I'm a confused person. But at my core, like I'm your daughter. And I know that you call us to come to you. And so, and that same friend met me there too. And she was right there with me. So in that also, I was just so encouraged by the way that God allows us to have community. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that you said that you had already been asking all of the questions. And I think that's so important for people to know that we shouldn't be ashamed of our questions, but that instead those questions are often what leads us closer to God, right? When we have a question, then we want to know the answer. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes the answer in the end is Jesus, right? Yeah. But it's not until we ask those questions that we get to a point of the surrender that you just spoke about and how beautiful that is and how that really has, you know, I think leaving, you said the weight had been lifted off your shoulders when you came to the altar, but in letting go of that weight has also freed you and has opened so many other opportunities and doors, and your eyes have been opened to what he's calling you to do. And that's beautiful.
Yeah. And I do want to say that that doesn't mean that those feelings didn't come back up again. Mm. It was still a wrestle, but I was choosing that battle now. Mm. I wasn't going to let it control me or just sit with me. Surrender doesn't mean it's all going to go away. I think surrender is more about, God, I'm choosing to fight now.
Yeah.
I'm choosing to fight with you, and I'm choosing to recognize my weakness and your strength.
Yeah. And he fights for us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of surrender, is basically giving up control of our lives to him. But you did talk about, you know, that you needed to fully surrender to him in that day. So what did that look like that day and in the days since?
Yeah, I think every single day is a new opportunity to surrender to the Lord. I think we have those bigger moments where we recognize, okay, I'm giving it over to you. And like you just mentioned, giving up control, that you can't learn how to get rid of something or grow in something by yourself. That's why God sends us community. That's why God calls us to be the body of Christ. Like, people are the church, because in order to go through things, like, we can't do it alone. And he shows us that. And it's often in other people that he shows us to that he is there. But there are other moments in life where I've walked through seasons where I am alone, and it does just have to be me and God. And that surrender kind of means more and calls for spiritual discipline and obedience to God, because it's just you and him. And so you have to really choose and discern what thoughts are from God, what thoughts are not from God, what is my own confusion in this, and then where am I not listening to God? And that can be harder sometimes because you've already done the surrender part. You've already done the hard part of crying and giving it to him and feeling that weight lifted. And then it comes back again at a time when it's just you and him. And that's when I think God really looks at us, and that's when the pruning and refinement starts, is when you've already surrendered to God with the support of other people. And then it's time to, okay, now I'm going to put you in a place where it's just you and me, and we're really going to work through this now.
Yeah, that's beautiful. As you were talking, I couldn't help but think of Jacob and how he wrestled with God, you know? And I think that it's an important part of each of our lives when we have those moments. And I'm not going to say a moment, because I think that the wrestling happens often throughout your life in different seasons of your life for different reasons, right? And how important it is to settle the matter, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever it is that's in front of you. And you were settling a matter, right? You said you did all the emotional work that went along with surrender, but now it was time to allow him to really change you from the inside out, little by little, right? And he's doing that to each and every one of us every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Morgan, you shared some other things about your testimony with Pastor Jeanette and I, which it's a little late for me to do this, but I'm going to go ahead. I forgot to mention that Pastor Jeanette is our worship pastor here at the Church of the Nazarene. So I think it's cool that she's joining us today, especially since you've talked about how important worship has been in your life and the expression of that. But there's a few things that you shared with us. And so just what else you would like to share about your testimony that's really important to your story?
Yeah, I think something that's important to mention is, as a newer Christian, I found myself more concerned about doing the right thing and being the right person than just knowing who God is and loving Him. I felt like I needed to be all the right things before I could come to God. And I felt like if my schedule wasn't perfect, and I wasn't taking care of myself the right way and reading my Bible every single day, then I was doing something wrong. I also would say that a lot of the scripture I had twisted, and I struggled a lot with self-confidence and my identity, and just like loving who God had created me to be in middle school and high school. And so in certain scriptures, I would twist them to make it more self-deprimental. And I would use scripture to like almost beat myself up. And I would do just crazy things of like writing scriptures on the walls, but like taking them way out of context. So I think without proper guidance, I'm sure there's other younger girls who are wanting to know God and wanting to do the whole Bible thing and the Christian thing. And I think it can become trendy and you want to get your cute little pens and you want to sit down with your Bible. But if you're not having the right guidance to know what you're reading, and then on top of that, trying to apply it to how you view your own self, that can be really scary. I think growing up, we have a lot of just anyone, just younger growing up, you're trying to figure out who you are, but you're also trying to be everybody else. And it can be, you can look at the Bible and look at it from a selfish perspective, mm-hmm. not because you're wanting to, but because you're trying to figure out yourself and you're trying to look at the Bible to tell you who you are, but you're also not because that's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think I did a lot of that and I found myself confused in all of that. And when I came to college, I had actually made real mistakes. I had never made what felt like big enough mistakes in middle school and high school to the point where I had felt shame. I felt a lot of disappointment with myself and I was angry at myself because I had not met my expectations, but I had never actually sinned in a way that would make me feel a lot of shame. And coming to college, I'm experiencing the world for the first time because I was grateful to be sheltered, but I also didn't know what was coming in the world. And so I experienced like just things that people would say that were more rude and not appropriate. I didn't struggle with the whole party culture, but I had gone to like two parties and it broke my heart. Seeing how people can be a part of something but not actually know what they're living in. And then I had gotten into like situations and just as a girl in college and living on your own and trying to figure it all out. There can be guys that come into your life and you can allow them to take advantage of you and say certain things about you. And it's not their fault. Like they're also still trying to figure out life. And a lot of how they treat women can come from a lack of self-confidence and a lack of knowing the Lord themselves. So, you know, I'm not trying to say that college guys are bad. I think we're all just hurting in different ways and haven't learned how to deal with that hurt. And so we end up hurting each other and taking advantage of each other. And just say, like, emotions can be taken way out of context and put into extreme words. And a lot of things can be said that aren't true or weren't said at the right time. And so a lot of that experiences kind of led me to start to feel shame and guilt. And I was no longer mad at myself. I was disappointed, but I wasn't mad at myself anymore because I was starting to realize I'm a person and I can't be perfect. And it was hard to have a strict schedule in college. Like I had a schedule, but it was harder to have like that Bible time and everything. So I had to learn how to work around that. And I think I finally figured out what grace was. Mm-hmm. I had walked around in high school saying that I forgive people and I love people and I have grace for people. But I was also telling them, no, that's wrong. No, you should do this better. I came off very judgmental and I can realize that now because going through shame, knowing it, realizing it, and then having to actually confess to someone who, to me, had never been a part of the things that I was a part of. It's easy to confess to someone who knows what you're talking about. It's harder to confess to someone who doesn't and who may be more pure in those areas. So I had to confess to someone who that it was really hard to confess to. And that their response showed me love, grace, and kindness and forgiveness. And I was not expecting that because I was not expecting that for myself. That was never how I treated myself. And so actually receiving that and knowing that that was what the Lord was also granting me allowed me to have more grace for other people, allowed me to look at other people and understand that I'm not going to point a finger at you. I'm going to look at your heart first. I'm going to see what's going on inside of you that needs care, that needs to be seen, heard, loved, and known before I address maybe the behavior. I think I had always gone through life with what's the behavior issue before what's the heart issue. And that's just not the way that I want to treat people anymore. I want to treat people with what is your heart issue so I can help that before we address what the behavior issue is, because then it's just going to come off wrong. Yeah. And we can't do that in reverse order. And so I started doing that with other people and with myself of, okay, what's internally going on before I can know what's externally going on.
Yeah, I think we're quick to try and fix the action, right? Yeah. When really the action is a response to the root cause, right? Yeah. And that's what you're saying. And that's what Jesus did, right? He always got down to the root of the issue. Yeah. And then he said, okay, now that we've taken care of that, go and sin no more, you know? Yeah. So I love that you've identified that in yourself, but then how you are also ministering to others. And that's going to be really impactful because that's the way Jesus did it, you know?
Yeah. There were a couple things that came to my mind as you were talking. Earlier, you were talking about people are hurt and they don't understand. And I think of a saying my dad would say all the time, hurt people hurt people. People that are hurting hurt other people, maybe not intentionally. And then also, you were talking about how once you had received grace, it was easier for you to show grace to others. And I think that's true for all of us. Once we've experienced grace for ourselves, we're more apt to have grace for others around us.
Absolutely.
Well, Morgan, it's been great to have you on Hope Talks today. Is there anything else that we haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared that you'd like to share with us?
I think just for like people listening, that the most important thing for you is to just love God. When we love God, that's when things change. We don't have to, you know, try and be the perfect person first or obey all the commands first. Obedience should come out of a reverence and a love for God. And if you're struggling with obeying God, I would just encourage you to just read scripture, just worship, get down on your knees more. Just love him. I think something that I've been very blessed with is just being able to enjoy worship. And I would love to see the church do that more of just raise your hands in the air, dance before the Lord, get down on your knees. Like, I think God wants to see us, you know, just in reverence and awe of him. And that's where you really find peace and a love for God, because you realize that he's not as serious as you think he is, and he loves you more than you could ever imagine. The vastness of God cannot be comprehended, and you can really start to experience that when you just let your walls down of how am I being perceived in the church, and just love him.
Yeah.
And everything will flow from a place of that. The growth that you want to experience, the obedience you want to experience, all of that will flow from just loving him first. Yeah.
From the worship pastor, amen to that. Yeah. So much of what I try to teach the congregation, really, it's something that needs to be taught, I feel like, is this when you love God and you can surrender to him and you can try, we'll never wrap our mind around what he's done for us. But if we try, our response should be one that is not missed, right? It should be extravagant because that is what the Lord deserves, right? I don't yell surprise at a birthday party like, surprise, you know? It's extravagant, right?
Yeah.
We want to get someone's attention.
Not a golf clap.
Right, exactly, not a golf clap. But our worship to him is a response of love for what he's done for us. And that should be exuberant, right? Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Morgan, maybe you've already answered this question, but we call this program Hope Talks. So the final question is, what is bringing you hope in your life right now?
What is bringing me hope? I think in this season, just prayer is bringing me a lot of hope. I think when you don't know what's coming next, prayer is the best answer. And a lot of people have been meeting me with a lot of prayer, and I've just been leaning into that more. So, yeah, I would say that's bringing me a lot of hope.
That's good.
That's great.
Well, Morgan, thank you for joining us on today's broadcast of Hope Talks. It's been great to have you.
Thank you. I have enjoyed this so much.
And Pastor Jeanette, thank you for joining me also. It's been
absolutely
great.
I love it too. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I pray that as Pastor Jeanette and I have talked with Morgan McGrath today, and as she has shared her testimony, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.